Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Gail Martin and Carol Kelly. Each week, the ladies will bring you gardening and planting ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies and habitats, and great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Carol Kelly.
Hello again, everyone. This past week, while we have had measurable snow, bitter cold wind, and falling temperatures, according to the forecast, the worst is yet to come. But we recently had some bright sunny days, and while we barely can yet discern the lengthening of the daylight hours, many of us already are longing to see some fresh, green, growing things. Thoughts are turning to garden planning as we peruse the catalogs, dreaming big dreams and ordering seeds. But while it's much too early to even think of starting any garden food crops from seed, there is something you can do now to satisfy that itch. Some vegetable parts or pieces that you normally might discard as scraps are easy and fun to grow on a sunny windowsill. If you have kids or grandkids in the home, what I'm going to talk about today is, of course, an especially great project for them. But even adults can benefit from an activity that not only satisfies our longing for green growing things, but may provide the household culinary artist with healthy provisions to brighten winter meals. So today, let's fight the winter doldrums by learning about just a few plant parts that ordinarily would be consigned to the compost bin, but instead can brighten drab winter windowsills and promote our health as well. To get started, besides the vegetable scraps I'll discuss in a moment, you will need a few easy-to-find and mostly inexpensive items. These include some good quality potting mix for indoor plants and suitable-sized pots with drainage holes. If you don't already have some on hand, this will be your main expense. For other necessary items, you can delve into your cupboard or household recycling bin. Find some clean jars, such as those from jelly, pickles, or olives, some empty canning jars, or even small to medium-sized drinking glasses. Also, locate some shallow containers about 4 or 5 inches wide and a couple of inches deep. Most of us have collected an array of containers from takeout or restaurant doggy bags, or various produce or similar containers from the store that will do the trick. Gather some additional common household supplies as well. Paper towels, toothpicks, plastic food wrap and or zip bags, emery board or sandpaper, and a sharp kitchen knife. Adult supervision may sometimes be required here. Now, let's consider the various planting possibilities before I go into specifics on how to proceed with each plant piece, root, rhizome, or tuber. You already may have some of the following foods in the vegetable drawer of your fridge or stored in your pantry. That is radishes, turnips, carrots, celery, ginger root, and sweet potatoes. Now, how to go about growing these? With whole turnips and radishes, it's best to start with the freshest ones you can find, so you may need to make a trip to the produce section of your favorite grocery store. Look for some that may still have the taproot intact. And if the leaves are still on the radishes or turnips you select, you should trim them when you get home to 3/4 of an inch, since they quickly can suck the moisture from the roots. And anyways, the point is to get our vegetables to grow new leaves. But don't throw those green tops in the trash or even compost, since they not only are edible, they are very nutritious. Compared to the roots, radish greens have more fiber, more vitamin C, and more antioxidants. Young radish leaves have an interesting peppery flavor that tastes amazing in a salad. When cooked, they wilt easily and blend and mellow perfectly with the other flavors, so are great in a stir fry. Turnip greens are rich in essential vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants, but their leaves can have a very strong bitter flavor. Cooking them rather than eating them fresh mellows the bitterness. So refresh and use the leaves you remove. Both of these root vegetables will sprout new leaves pretty quickly. So besides looking like a nice houseplant, you can grow some healthy food from these root vegetables. For planting these, use a medium-sized pot, about 1/4, and a good quality potting mixture for indoor plants, moistened lightly. Plant the root deep enough so that just the very top is visible, and water it just enough to wet the soil medium, but don't soak it, just as with any houseplant, which includes do not allow the plant to sit in water. Place the pot in a bright window and watch for new growth. Plants even should be able to take full summer sun later through the window once they're established. As the growth develops, low-strength houseplant fertilizer may be used to keep leaves coming as you harvest. Both radishes and turnips may be maintained as houseplants for many months. Radishes grow quickly and produce tidy, attractive small green plants with frilly edged leaves. Turnips also sprout quickly. Boisterous best describes their growth habit, though. Under good conditions, the plants might even bloom. Other houseplants may be grown from just the tops of carrots and the discarded base of a bunch of celery. To grow carrot greens, do not try to use those so-called baby carrots. Those actually are standard-sized carrots that have been peeled and shaved into dull uniformity, discarding a lot of the vitamins in the process. Go for the whole ones. If the carrots you choose come with greens still on them, handle them the same as the turnips and radishes. That is, trim the leaves back to a 3/4-inch stub of stems, and also cut off all but about 1.5 inches of the orange or purple, yellow, white, or whatever color carrot root. Place the carrot pieces upright with the cut ends in a shallow bowl and add an inch of water. You'll have to remember to monitor the water as well as change it daily to keep it fresh. The carrot chunk eventually will send out fine white roots from the sides, and greens will begin to sprout. Once the roots are growing vigorously, plant the carrot pieces just below the top surface of the soil into a pot of moistened potting mixture. Now, bear in mind, you're not going to get a whole new carrot. It's just the greens we are aiming for. Place the pot in a sunny window and keep the soil moist, but not sitting in water. Carrot plants will wilt if too dry, but recover quickly when they are watered. Once established, again, low-strength indoor fertilizer may be added to the pot, but go easy. If you start a number of carrots and get a good amount of tops, these too may be eaten like any other greens, in soup, stir-fry, or simply chopped up into a salad. Carrot greens contain vitamins, alkaloids, chlorophyll, porphyrins, and much more. The tops are a good addition to a detox diet. They also boost your immune system, regulate blood pressure, improve bone density, aid digestion, and improve your vision. Yep, Bugs Bunny was right. The usually discarded bottom of a celery bunch can grow tender new celery greens and is planted similarly to the carrots. When most of the original stalks are used, cut any remaining stalks, leaving a stub of about 1.5 inches. Place the stalk base in a shallow bowl and maintain that inch of water at all times, again changing as needed to maintain freshness. Actually, celery bottoms and carrot tops can share the same bowl if you wish. Roots soon will appear from the celery stalk bottom, and new celery growth will sprout from the top. Just as for the carrots, once sufficient roots are established, plant the celery base just below the soil surface in a pot with a moistened potting mixture. Place the pot in a sunny window, keep well watered, but not sitting in water. Once established, again, low-strength indoor plant fertilizer may be used. The mild-flavored celery greens may be used as you normally would in soup, stew, salads, fresh, or whatever. Our next choice, ginger root, botanically speaking, actually is a rhizome. Start with a piece that had at least one uncut end and has several healthy-looking, well-developed growth buds, since that is where growth will start. If you cut a piece of rhizome from a larger piece of ginger, allow the part that you want to plant to dry overnight. Plant it then in a suitable pot, water it as you would any plant, and grass-like shoots soon will appear. You may take it outside in summer to a sheltered spot, but not full sun, but then bring it back indoors before nighttime temperatures drop to 50 degrees in the fall, since ginger cannot survive our winters. Rhizomes may form very slowly, but if you bring your plant in and care for it, you might eventually need to move it even into a larger pot and harvest more ginger root over time. Sweet potatoes are a great choice if you'd like a robust, vining indoor plant and will even produce an occasional flower that looks just like a morning glory. That's because the two plants are very closely related. A drawback to attempting to grow sweet potato greens is the fact that often the sweet potatoes sold in the store have been treated to prevent sprouting. Assuming, though, that you get hold of a viable tuber, there are a couple of ways that I've sprouted them successfully. The first is the way my grandmother always did, by inserting toothpicks equidistantly around the center of the potato and setting the bottom third of the potato into a jar of water. It can be hard sometimes to figure out which is the bottom, that is, the stem end of the sweet potato, but you need to figure it out because sometimes it can make a difference. The other way I use is one that I did several months ago when I found a potato in my storage crock that had begun to rot a little bit on one end. I cut that part off and put the rest of the potato into a smaller crock that I had and filled it with water to cover at least half the tuber. Within not too many days, tiny green sprouts appeared here and there on the potato, and since then it has produced vines a good 15 to 18 inches long with numerous leaves. I have it sprawling in my southeast-facing bay window, and so far it's produced one flower, plus I have harvested several meals of leaves from it. I've used the chopped leaves in a stir-fry and also in some soup, just the same way as I would use spinach leaves. In about mid-April or so, I'll begin to grow out a few plants for my garden. I'll do this by twisting off a couple of the vines from the tuber, trim the stems back to about 6 or 8 inches, remove the leaves from the bottom 3 or 4 inches, and put the base of the stem into a glass of water. This bare stem will begin to grow tiny white roots all along its length that eventually will grow longer and become a mass of roots. I may pot on this cluster of roots into a pot for a while before planting it in my garden, depending on the weather, or I may choose to plant the young plant directly into the warm soil of my raised bed. This will grow rampantly all summer until frost threatens and I will have to dig my crop. But before that, over summer, I will have been enjoying an abundance of healthy greens for many meals. A great thing about sweet potatoes is that I never have had any pest attack my plants, and never have I failed to get some very nice tubers for Thanksgiving. Well, I think this is enough information to get you started experimenting, but I will continue this topic next time with more suggestions for greening up your windowsills and enjoying some lovely plants using seeds from various fruits that may be coaxed to grow with very little difficulty. Until then, this is Carol Kelly saying, even when you can't enjoy growing your food outside, you can do it inside and still be an active part of things that usually happen in the green outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.